Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. Finland's parliament has overwhelmingly endorsed a bid from the Nordic country's government to join NATO.
Lawmakers at the 200-seat parliament voted 188-8 to approve Finland seeking membership in the 30-member Western Military Alliance. The vote was considered a formality after leaders had announced the intention to join on Sunday. Lawmakers' approval wasn't necessarily required, however. It was felt to be important for the parliament to weigh in on the NATO bid, described by the Finnish head of state as historic. Finland's now expected to sign a formal application and file it to NATO headquarters in the coming days, together with Nordic neighbour Sweden. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
President Biden will welcome the Finnish president and the Swedish prime minister to the White House on Thursday for talks about NATO and European security. An official says the administration is very confident that an agreement could be reached for the two countries to join the alliance. Also at townhall.com, the government offering a third round of free COVID-19 at-home test. Correspondent Greg Cluxton with that report.
U.S. households can now request an additional 8 free at-home tests. Orders can be made online at the covidtests.gov website. Earlier this year, President Biden committed to making 1 billion at-home tests available to the public free of charge. But the White House says just 350 million tests have been shipped so far. That's making possible this third round of free at-home COVID-19 tests. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Health officials urging New Yorkers to wear masks in all indoor public settings as the city approaches high-risk COVID-19 alert status. New York City averaging about 3,600 reported new cases of COVID-19 per day. That is in just the past week. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm about to compare a pepper shaker to a cash-out refinance. Hang with me. You know when you're at a restaurant and they ask, would you like some fresh ground pepper? And then they crank that giant tube, but almost nothing comes out? For me, only a certain amount of time is socially acceptable to wait. I know that getting that pepper out might make my life better, but it just seems too impossible. And that's what we hear people say about the cash-out refinance. People realize that the value of their home has gone up like hot pepper the last few years, leaving all this extra money sitting inside their home. But is it too...
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
He drove 3 hours, cased the supermarket, which is, by the way, the only supermarket in the black community in Buffalo. I know Buffalo well. And then came back prepared to do this and live streamed himself doing it. So he was proud to show he was going to do it. He wanted to identify with this. If this does not make the White House say, wait a minute, we need to call in leaders from all these communities and we need to send the signal that we're antithetical to Donald Trump's presidency about what there's fine people on both sides when they were marching down Charlottesville streets saying Jews will not replace us. This manifesto says that Jews are using blacks to kill whites.
Will they ever give you a correct story on what happened in Charlottesville? That was Al Sharpton on MSNBC. This is May 17, 2022. We are live streaming right now at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, put in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA, one word, and it will open up a page where you see previous podcasts we put up on Rumble and also the live location. Push live and you're in studio. So here's Al Sharpton, along with other leftists, continuing to blame Trump and conservatives for the shooting in Buffalo. You know, we're not, they're not even stopping on the gun issue now. They're just rapidly running forward because it's election time coming up, don't you know, in November. So they're going to say, well, let's just, we're going to make the gun part of the deal. We certainly want that again. We're going to push that. I mean, they are so quick to jump on gun Second Amendment rights every time there's a shooting, before the deceased are even buried. And here again, they're going to weaponize this tragedy and use it as a political thought tool that Trump and MAGA supporters and any conservative would be responsible for what happened in Buffalo. And then this replacement theory that suggests that Jews were being used by whites to kill blacks. And that's why this white kid, 18 years of age, as intelligent as he probably was not, decided to go on a shooting rampage 3 hours from his home in a predominantly black neighborhood at a store that had predominantly black customers. Shooting 13, killing 10. But don't bother asking about facts at this point. They have their narrative and they're off and running. This is a tragedy. Like we said yesterday, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy for those who lost their loved ones. It's a tragedy for the parents of this kid if they had no idea something like that was going to happen. It's a tragedy for the nation. But trying to weaponize it? Speaking of the gun, by the way, Congresswoman Claudia Tenney, Republican of New York, stated that the Buffalo shooter should not have been able to purchase a firearm. I told you yesterday he purchased it legally. He did, but here's what happened. He slipped through due to his mental health history not being reported. We have the law, but if you're not going to impose the law, if you're not going to enforce it, if you're not going to follow it, you're going to have a case like this. She said that New York has among the harshest gun laws already. I don't think changing the gun law would have changed this. Changing our reporting system, following the laws in place, that's what we need to do. I fully agree. We're going to get into that in a lot more detail in the second hour. Also, we're getting breaking news regarding baby formula. For those of you relying on that or know parents that might be needing it, make sure you're listening for that coming up in the next segment. And we're also going to be joined a little bit later by Doug Blair, the Daily Signal, on increasing protest ahead of the Roe v. Wade official decision. And the Congress is opening an investigation of UFOs for the first time in 50 years. Why? It's a political year. Draw attention away from Biden and his failures. Let's investigate UFOs. That draws a lot of attention. Well, my guest, George Norrie, host of Coast to Coast, has a lot of programs dealing with UFOs. I want to get his take on some of the information now being released to the general public. I'm not going to get into politics with him, just the information that's being released and what he's heard over the years of hosting Coast to Coast. We have a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your friends, family, even your enemies know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
At LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Come me now. Come with me now.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Glad I can address this issue, which is of great concern to all of us at FDA. I'm a grandparent of six kids, one of whom is an infant formula kid, so well aware of what's needed. So we are moving on the product that was intended for other countries, and I anticipate that by the end of the day today, we'll have a detailed announcement about how that's possible.
Well, that was the FDA commissioner, Dr. Robert Califf, on ABC, talking about how the FDA is working on a plan for all you mothers who are desperately trying to find formula for your child. Now, he's talking about that they think they're going to have a plan in place by the end of the day, but it's still going to take, he said, even if we got the plan put in place today, it could be another 2 weeks. So I don't know what you're supposed to do during that time. Do you? Well, I hope you're communicating with your pediatrician and staying on top of it. We are now getting word, though, that's coming out from the House Appropriations Committee. The best way to solve this is throw money at it. Well, sure, why not? We do that with everything else. House Appropriations Committee Chairwoman, Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro, Democrat, Connecticut, says what we need to deal with the ongoing baby formula shortage is provide $28 million to the FDA to deal with the crisis and prevent future ones. How about asking where the FDA has spent the previous money and what they've been doing to make sure it didn't happen to start with? Could we begin with that question before you start handing out money again that's going to solve everything? She goes on to say, the stories of mothers and fathers struggling to find formula, the images of empty store shelves are heartbreaking. Parents and caretakers across the country cannot wait. They need our support now. I sympathize with all the remarks. But am I the only one that finds it ludicrous that by giving the FDA $28 million deals with what she says they need our support now? Of course it doesn't. It doesn't change anything. The FDA says they're going to take some important steps to remedy the formula supply. And, of course, all of this was, if you're really aware of how a supply chain works, let's go back to basic. All right, you don't use baby formula. You don't have any need for it. You don't know what it is. Maybe you don't have a baby. Maybe you would have had one if you hadn't aborted. That question aside, we'll get into later. But I know one thing you use. I'm almost 100% sure you use this product. There may be some out there that have some old Sears Roebuck catalog or corn cobs. Toilet paper. Do you remember the toilet paper shortage we had when COVID first started? That was not a supply chain issue. No one realized, oh, my God. More folks are staying home. They're using more toilet paper at home. They're not using it at the office. And pretty soon, it became, Bitcoin became more expensive and harder to get than Bitcoin. But now we got this formula issue, which is a legitimate concern. You heard the FDA commissioner say that he's got children that he's worried about, grandchildren, and that's good. But as they continue to find a way, and what can they do at this point? Part of the issue that, according to the CDC nutritional guidelines, now again, I'm going to read these to you, but they're coming from the CDC, and unfortunately, the CDC has lost a lot of credibility with much of the public over COVID. So the problem is, as I read this to you, you have to keep in mind the source. So here we go. One, parents can stop feeding baby formula to infants after they reach the one-year mark. That's according to the CDC and its nutrition guidelines. Again, I say you check with your pediatrician and find out the real answer. And there are six major baby formula manufacturers registered with the FDA currently. That would include everything from Abbott Nutrition through Prolacta Biosciences. And then baby formula reliant newborns should be fed 1 to 2 ounces of formula 8 to 12 times in 24 hours in the first days of life. Again, that's the CDC. So you take their advice or don't, but at least I want to give it to you. By the way, baby formula, you had a lot of people saying, well, why bother? You should be breastfeeding. You know, breastfeed, that was a natural way. That was what we used to do. Well, things have changed, haven't they? And we now know that maybe the babies are not getting enough nutrition from the mother's milk, and or sometimes she cannot lactate, and or sometimes it doesn't do any good for that child or the mother. Baby formula really wasn't invented until the 19th century. And they did so when they began to see a rise in infant mortality after dry nursing. Then they started feeding animal milk to babies. It's milk, animal milk, cow milk, goat milk. 1838, a German physician analyzed human and cow milk, and he found that the latter, cow milk, had a higher protein content, a lower carb content, and from that they later developed the first commercial baby formula. In 1967, made from wheat flour, cow's milk, malt flour, potassium bicarbonate, and so forth, so on. All of that aside, when are you going to actually see baby formula on the shelves? There's a National Defense Act that allows it, Congress ratified in May 1916, signed by Woodrow Wilson. And it was part of militarizing our nation for an emergency. You understand that. There is also a Defense Production Act, which gives the president power to order companies to produce goods and supply services to support national defense. Or originally passed in 1950, first used during the Korean War. Now, if you have the government ordering companies to go out and start creating, manufacture more, if you recall when COVID was breaking out and there was a call for, we need a vaccine, and Democrats are saying, Trump, you need to step forward and use that Defense Production Act right now. Order those companies to do something. And Trump's attitude was, I don't need to order them. I can get them in here to explain it and urge them at warp speed, do whatever they can, put everything on the table, go for it. We're going to cut a lot of the red tape. We want to make sure it's still safe, but we're going to cut a lot of red tape. We're back now where red tape is everywhere. So the FDA commissioner was asked, are we at a point now with the baby formula that you need to enact the Defense Production Act?
I don't think we need the Defense Production Act. I think the manufacturers are ready to go, and they're going to increase their production. In fact, they already have. Importantly, there's been more formula bought, about 10% more in the last month than in the month before the recall. So there is formula out there. It's just not in the right place at the right time.
Well, golly, that's the issue right there, isn't it? And he went on to explain, you know, now we realize, let me read his remarks here. It's not in the right place at the right time. I knew that. I think you knew that. And then he adds, so this issue of the supply chain and how it gets disrupted, these are learned people, probably high degrees. He's a doctor, FDA commissioner. Pete Buttigieg supposedly would be in charge of part of the supply chain, but he's admitted as of yesterday that he and his partner the adopted twins. They're having trouble finding formula, so he realizes, oh, now it is an issue. See, when the problem comes back and bites the leftist in the arse, then they realize, oh, we need to do something. If supply chain disruption, once you start shutting down some manufacturers or having an issue with them, that's where he should be stepping up, and the FDA in connection. When are they going to step up and do something? Now. And Congress, Democrat members saying, let's also throw more money at it. $28 million. Again, this is not going to be solved overnight. There are families out there now that are exchanging formula with other parents that might have more, helping each other out. And others are still desperately trying to see, what do I do? If you're in that situation, I feel for you. I cannot imagine that you're worried about, is my baby going to have the right food, the right time, and what am I supposed to do in the meantime? But do make sure you reach out to your pediatrician or any health service, or even go right into hospital and say, I need help. What do we do? Don't put your baby's life at risk because of all this bureaucratic nonsense that we had a supply chain disruption. No kidding. You couldn't see that coming at any point. Aside from finding that maybe there might be some problems with some of the formulas or restrictions coming in, and maybe they're not printed in plain enough English for moms to understand if they're doing a mixing of the formula themselves. This is a big business. Infant formula market expected to reach $5.8 billion in this country by the year 2027. $5.8 billion. Globally, the baby formula market size already estimated at $50 billion, and we're going to go to double that by 2027. So it's big money. So the companies really want to be in there and making it if they can, and get it out as quick as they can and sell it. But your concern as a parent, all the economics, all the big numbers, the origin, how it got here, when I go there to the store, is it going to be there on the shelves and available for me? And then the other question, which the FDA commissioner is going to insist that we're taking care of, the other question for the commissioner is the formula going to be safe?
We're going to assure that the product is tested, that it's coming from reliable manufacturers, most of whom we know quite well already, and that we do the testing that's needed on the basis need to assure that it's safe. We're looking at case by case to make sure that no infants go without the formula they need. We recognize it's difficult for parents and may take some time, but we'll get there in each individual case.
He says they're going to get there, each individual case, which we're bringing us to you. The timing is going to be the issue. I'd like to think that they would end up being resolved quickly. But these supply chain disruptions, in some cases, I'm not sure they're not plotted to put pressure on the American. I know when it comes to gas shortages, when we're not doing our own drilling and oil and having to rely on other countries, it's the leftist way of making you suffer. But we don't want our babies to suffer. Coming up, Dick Durbin of Illinois. The senator says, we still have a transitional economy. We're not that bad off, despite what the numbers say. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Jolene, please don't take him just because you This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So CNN had just come out with a recent poll again and pointing out, this is CNN. Remember, CNN. And they are saying that it's pretty clear that this president is in deep, deep, deep trouble. The poll released, the most recent, showing, of course, the main culprit is inflation. Surprise, surprise. You're not that surprised. You get a bigger surprise out of the Cracker Jack box now, and you know it's not a real toy anymore. It's some kind of stupid little thing. It used to be some legitimate prizes. Now it's just nothing. Unless you get the one with the clown's face, you're trying to get the two little metal balls in the eyes, whatever. Yeah, it's inflation. This CNN poll showing a majority of Americans think Biden's policies have hurt the economy. No kidding. 8 in 10 say the government is not doing enough to combat inflation. No kidding. White House economic advisor admitted on CNN that some households, and I'm quoting, are experiencing extreme discomfort. Is that a nice way to say, sucks to be you and sucks to be poor, right? I'm looking at all this stuff. The Fed has already raised the interest rates by 0.5 percentage point. That triggered stock rallies. But, of course, now they're expecting more spikes to come on the inflation rate. That's not going to help. But meanwhile, Senate Majority Whip Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, said, and I'm quoting, we're dealing with a, God, how many times are they going to recycle this? We're dealing with a transitional economy coming from a shutdown economy under COVID-19, reemerging, creation of jobs at record levels, but with it comes the fires of inflation. And then he adds this, there's also a lot of price gouging. So if you're paying more, they're probably gouging you. Yeah, you're getting gouged every time you go to the pump. The truckers who have to fill up their trucks with diesel, they're getting gouged. So then they're going to gouge the supplier that's carrying the cargo for. And when it gets to the store, they're going to gouge you again. And it's all gouging. Has nothing to do with the real world event. And again, Durbin says, oh, we can do things. We can use its strategic petroleum reserve. Do that again. They probably will before November, because if they can lower those gas prices, it would look like, well, you should keep Biden and the Democrats there. Biden's not up for election, but Democrats are. So if the price is coming down, then maybe something is going right finally. Do not buy. Do not buy that lie. Senate Democrats already facing a blowback after they last week tried to pass a bill that would legalize abortion nationwide. Get this, for all 9 months of pregnancy. All 9 months. They got support from 49 Democrats in the Senate. Thank God it didn't get to 50-50, because Kamala would have signed off on it. This would give providers a way to perform an abortion after fetal viability. Senator Blumenthal, Democrat, Connecticut, introduced it earlier. Says it's also going to include the patient's health, psychological, emotional. But the baby, that you can do this up to in the third trimester, up to the end of pregnancy, even up to the moment of birth. A poll from the Pew Research Center shows only 19% of Americans believe abortion in the third trimester should be legal. 75% of Americans support some kind of restriction on abortion. The mother's health, incest, rape. But they want, as one points out, the Democrats for Life spokesman said, this is deeply out of step, not giving women real resources and real support during their pregnancies, and since that they should be able to make their decision again, right? Well, of course, the released document or that could become the law, Roe v. Wade, come from Alito's office the other day. We got a lot of people protesting against the justices. My next guest has details.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden costs. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Oh, oh Lord, why have you forsaken me? Got me down in Mississippi where I don't want to be. Oh, oh Lord, why have you forsaken me? Got me down in Mississippi where I don't want to be.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Reminding you, we are live streaming even as I speak at rumble.com. Rumble.com. You can go to that location, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors USA, all one word. You'll find a page open to Larry Connors USA programs, previous, and then you also see one where you could push it marked live. Join us in studio. Glad to have you. Either now or later on the podcast when it's posted. We still are waiting for the official decision, reference Roe v. Wade, actually the Mississippi case that's before the Supreme Court, the draft that got leaked from Samuel Alito's office, leaked or purposely handed over to some party to make sure it got published in Politico, but the backlash and reaction has already started, and my next guest has documented a lot of it. My guest is Douglas Blair with Heritage, also the producer and host of Daily Signal and the Daily Signal podcast. He's seen increasing attacks carried out by some of these protesters as they begin to escalate. Doug, first of all, glad to have you on board, sir.
Hey, Larry, thanks so much for having me on.
Well, you've watched some of these directly on behalf of Daily Signal, either for the publication or the podcast. You talk about what happened at Justice Amy Coney Barrett's home the other day. Would you outline for the audience what you saw?
Absolutely. So that was actually one of the more recent protests that happened. So we've been seeing protests happening in front of the justices' homes for about a week now. And each one of them has progressively been smaller and smaller as I think the radical left is starting to recognize that it's really not working for them. It's a terrible look. Americans recognize that these people are completely out of step with how they view this issue. So what I saw at Amy Coney Barrett's house was nothing more than an embarrassment. It was seven people dressed in costumes from The Handmaid's Tale, yeah, which is a popular book that just sort of pretends that America is going to devolve into this fascist, theistic state where women are basically forced to be incubators. So they dressed like that. They tried to compare Amy Coney Barrett to one of these people that was trying to force them to give birth. But again, it was more media than actual protesters there because I think, again, they're recognizing that they're losing on this issue.
Well, to that extent, then also before we leave Amy Coney Barrett, you also saw what they were doing at Justice Kavanaugh's house. Were they more vociferous at least at his house or about the same?
Well, that's the thing that was so scary. So I was there on last Saturday, or I guess two Saturdays ago at this point, and the idea that there was something violent that was going to happen was very palpable. You could sort of feel the hatred that these protesters had for Brett Kavanaugh. I don't think they quite got over what happened during his contentious nomination hearing, but there were people there that were, you know, planning to maybe attack his house if the cops weren't there to stop them. One protester said, "I see you, Brett." Very kind of threateningly and menacingly kind of implying that he saw that he was in the house. I don't know if that's true or not. But again, you could tell that at this point they hadn't been condemned yet by sort of the mainstream press who was still egging them on. And I would still say it's still giving them a much more leniency than they would give if they were conservative. But again, yes, this was sort of before the Biden administration began to realize, oh my gosh, it's looking terrible in the polls. We need to actually change something.
Well, two things there. One, and I call them state-controlled, pardon me, state-controlled media at this point, because they are. And since the Democrats hold both houses and the White House, but there is a federal statute that you cannot do that to intimidate a federal judge, and it's not being applied. But I will guarantee you, as you said, if the situation were reversed, it involved a liberal judge and something going on like this, they would be howling at the moon and the sun 24 hours. You've got to enforce that federal statute.
Absolutely. No, again, this is what the mainstream media will do, is they'll try and create a narrative that this is, you know, acceptable. This is the voice of the people. But if this was at Sotomayor's house or Kagan's house, of course, this would be a threat to democracy and needed to be stopped. And I really want to highlight for your listeners just how pathetic the response was from the Biden administration, that had multiple opportunities to sort of tamp down on this and to say that this was inappropriate and unacceptable. And each time that they did, they basically said, this is just protest. This is acceptable. This is fine. Mm-hmm. Chuck Schumer, obviously Senate leader of the Democrats, basically said he gets protested, completely ignoring the point that this is something unacceptable, and it's subverting this democracy that we have in this institution in the Supreme Court. It's basically the reason they're there is to threaten and to harass the justices into getting what they want. And as a functioning country, we don't do that. That's something that they do in Iran or China.
Well, of course, we have a balancing act here, free speech, and they're entitled to free assembly. It's just that this federal statute applies in this case. Now, if we look at what we've seen from the Pew Research, I was reading some of that before you joined us, the most recent showing only 19% of Americans believe abortion in the third trimester should be legal. Senate tried to get through a bill last week and got only 49 votes, thank God, that they basically would abort up to the life, up to the birth itself.
Absolutely. And again, this is not something that the American people is comfortable with. The idea that we can debate abortion, I think, is entirely reasonable within our system, right? This is America. We have these types of discussions. I'm firmly pro-life. I believe that abortion is murder, and I believe that life starts at conception. But I understand that we need to have those types of conversations. What the radical left wants to do is they want to shut that down entirely. Their view is, no, abortion must be legal up until the point of birth, because, you know, anything else is just forcing a woman to be an incubator. And if you try to have any other opinion, you're going to get either harassed at your home, and we're going to force you to vote the way that we want to, or we might even try to get you fired from your job, right? This is something that we see with cancel culture and that type of behavior from the radical left. So they don't believe in the democratic process. They don't believe in the republic taking the steps that it needs to take. They want it. It's either their way or the highway.
All right. So let's talk about the radical right, because we know there have been cases of bombings of abortion centers, abortion doctors being shot dead in their parking lot. So that extreme exists as well. But these protests so far around the justices' homes have been loud and noisy, not only for them, but putting a little fear into their neighbors around it. But then you are based out of Oregon, and I know on your Daily Signal podcast you talked to the leader of the Oregon Right to Life, I believe it was, about the Oregon Right to Life, about how it turned to true violence.
Absolutely. So, yeah, you're totally right. I'm from Portland, Oregon. I've seen firsthand what the radical left will do when it doesn't get its way. This is sort of like the homeland of Antifa, where political violence is the sort of language that they'll use. They'll bomb things, they'll beat people up, they'll do these types of things. And of course, Oregon Right to Life was one of those unfortunate victims in this case, where some activists, we don't know who they are, I hope that the police find them, but some activists decided to Molotov cocktail the building where Oregon Right to Life worked out of, and they burned the interior. Thankfully, nobody was inside, nobody was hurt, but this is what the stakes are now, right? The radical left believe that this is an issue worth destroying property and possibly even hurting people over. And I think it's very important that we have both of our leaders in government, so that would be the Biden administration, but then also some of these people who are on the court as well, maybe Sotomayor or Kagan, say something like, hey, this is unacceptable. We can have these types of discussions and we'll make a decision. Maybe they don't agree with overturning Roe v. Wade, but it's still unacceptable for people to use violence to take these matters into their own hands.
Yeah, the other point is their ruling, even if it follows what the Alito draft is, applies only to abortion. They're already trying to say it's a slippery slope into other areas, and it does not outlaw abortion across the nation. It just returns the power to the states again. But the other point that stands out constantly is that the narrative will not cease. The lying, the fabrication, they're not going to go with the facts because they think, you know, they're going to cry out, a woman's right, a woman's right. If those crying out had been aborted, they wouldn't be there to cry out.
Absolutely. No, and I think that's really what we're hitting here, right? The people who aren't aborted aren't crying out these things. But one of the things I think was so sad is I heard a lot of these protesters saying things like, I wish I had been aborted.
Yeah.
And I think that,
yes,
to me, that it's so sad. And to us,
I saw a child carrying a sign, I wish my mom had aborted me. Now, how do you think she came up with that idea?
I know, it's so sad, but again, this is what we need to do as pro-life conservatives, as people who believe that life is worth it. We need to build a culture of life in this country, and that is countering the radical left message that life doesn't matter. And again, this is what abortion is all about. It's, do you believe that life matters, or if you don't? If you don't believe that life matters, you're going to be okay with abortion. And if you do believe that life matters, you're going to say that life needs to prevail.
Yeah.
So that's what we need to be doing here. We need to fight for life, and I think we're winning.
And to that extent, they also had the attitude, these are, well, people do what they want to do in protests, like the bombings and so forth. We saw the Antifa and BLM before. Doug Blair with Heritage and Daily Signal, again, thank you for your time, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on, Larry.
You bet. We'll do it again. Coming up, I want to go back to what happened at the Laguna Church and the hero. We didn't have all the details yesterday. I have more today. I want to share them. Stand by. If you want to impress someone, I personally recommend Cafe Napoli, Clayton, our town and country, or St. Charles. Cafe Napoli offers private rooms for up to 50 guests, so plan a corporate party, an anniversary party, a birthday party, a party. Cafe Napoli has a location near you, Clayton, town and country, and St. Charles, where Cafe Napoli 3 is now serving lunch or Sunday brunch, only at Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, of course, at the shooting in Buffalo, New York, the grocery store over the weekend, we know that the security guard who had retired from the police force tried to stop the shooter. The security guard was armed. He fired several shots at the shooter, but the shooter had on body armor. Nedry got hit a couple of times, and he turned and killed the former police lieutenant who was trying to save lives. And in fact, no doubt he did save some lives, as it gave more time for other people to scramble to safety or get out of the way before the shooter finally gave up. And we also had over the weekend the shooting at the Laguna Church, or the Geneva Presbyterian Church in Laguna Woods, California. Here was another man that tried to stop that shooting and paid for it with his life. Now, this shooting, the shooter, I should say, and again, I'm not going to bother with their names. I try not to give them any additional publicity. Supposedly, those who have looked at this have said that this was a guy who's in a free fall. His life was all miserable anyway. 68-year-old man from Las Vegas. And he's from China. And most attendees at this church are Taiwanese. So we don't know. It's not being labeled as a hate crime at this point, but it should be. I mean, I would certainly grant that the shooting in Buffalo was a hate crime, a white man shooting up specifically black targets. This guy goes to the church on a Sunday. He's welcomed in by the congregation, said he had been there before. Later folks said, don't recall seeing him. I don't know if he identified if his origin or not, but he was coming to worship, and they wanted to have him in. They invited him in. They have worship service. Then they're gathering for pictures and a lunch after the church service. And then at one point, he pulls out a 9mm and starts shooting. Well, the visiting pastor was from Taiwan. He said everybody started getting on the floor except for Dr. John Chang, a 52-year-old sports medicine specialist. He charged at the gunman. He had nothing in his hand. Dr. Chang had nothing but his will and his ability to do what I can to save others. He charged at the man with a gun and died in the process. Others, 66 to 92, were shot, pardon me, but are expected to survive. Most of those attending this church are in their late 80s. But Dr. Chan gave his life trying to stop it. He is a true hero. And then after he did that, the visiting pastor who was there, who had been pastor of the church and was back from Taiwan, grabbed a chair and knocked the gunman down as he's trying to reload, and then other parishioners grabbed him and kept him down, tied him up till police arrived. And it turns out that Dr. Chan is not a regular of that church. God put him there just by chance that day. He brought his mother for a special event to honor the former longtime pastor who had returned from Taiwan. That's why he was even there. If he had not been there, who knows? He's a martial arts enthusiast. But you carry a knife to a gunfight, you're likely to lose. And you try to use your fist against a man with a gun, you're likely to lose. But he didn't care. What he was going to do is save not only his mother, but everyone else he could. Imagine the courage it takes for something like that. Of course, we have police officers, first responders who do it all the time. Every time shots are fired or flames break out, they rush toward that scene as opposed to away from it. We thank them for that. But citizens, too many want to start documenting it on their phone or they run and hide, but they're not taking an active part in it. In this case, Dr. Chan moved forward to try to stop the shooter. And even though he was killed, he might have, again, distracted him long enough that others could get down and get more cover until they could overtake him. I'm going to give you a heads up on something that's going to happen later this week. Randy Mayfield, former pastor at Central Presbyterian Church in Clayton, where I'm a member, headed up our mission program for 40 years. He's going to be sitting in the seat Thursday and Friday as a substitute host. And he had told me while we were preparing today's show, he's looking over my shoulder, I'm teaching him everything I know, which was done in 20 seconds. I'm sure he'll do better. But Randy Mayfield said, I know the doctor that attacked and got killed, that was trying to save lives. So Randy might be able to add some more personal notes on that story later this week, because, again, I'm taking off Thursday and Friday, and Randy Mayfield will be here. Again, former pastor of Central Presbyterian Church, missionary, traveled all over the world on mission programs. Very familiar with Ukraine, by the way. So that may well be a topic. It's whatever he chooses to do. I trust this show with him, and I know you, the audience, will enjoy it. Reminding you again, we are live streaming at rumble.com. Let your family and friends know we are right now on air live at rumble.com. If you don't get a chance to see it live now, do it later. Subscribe, you'll get it automatically. And subscribe to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and get every program after it airs as a podcast. Share with others. Stand by for Second Tower.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.